A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul and George here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. So the Rockets get the third pick in the draft. I think it is funny going back to, you know, thinking about this Friday when we were talking about being all in on Donovan Mitchell and the Rockets acquiring him. Because when we're having that conversation, it was like, hypothetically, if the Rockets got a top four pick, then I would definitely trade it. But now they actually have it. So I think it's fair to say, like, maybe stances have changed even in the slightest. So now that they have the third pick, has your opinion changed at all? Just like first blush of they take a player or they should just move it.
It hasn't changed my opinion. Like my overall opinion, I'm still in camp trade it, but it made the, like, I guess percentages that I'm, you know, I was 100% for it. Now I'm probably like 80-75% for, where again, I can see a world where there's some guy that they fall in love with at three versus falling in love at nine.
Yeah, my biggest thing, if they're going to take a player now that they actually have the third pick versus move it, is that you are not in position to wait. I get what the Warriors did when they drafted James Wiseman with the first overall pick when they won the lottery a couple years ago. Like, they thought, hey, we're going to take Wiseman, we're going to take Kuminga, and we're going to build the next generation of Warriors basketball. We're going to continue our dynasty. James Wiseman's on the Pistons. And Kuminga might be traded this offseason. Yeah. And yeah, they won another title, but it was not due to any of those guys being part of that. Most likely, if the Rockets draft a player, even if they draft as, like, the Twitch is having a discussion here about moving Alpi to the four and bringing in a center, I get it. I hear you. I don't think that's a terrible idea. But most likely, this team's goals next year is going to make the playoffs. And typically what that means is that the center minutes are going to be more of Şengün and Steven Adams. You know, this isn't Jalen Green when he got drafted and it was like, who cares if we win or lose? Let's just get these guys on the court. Yeah. That to me is where it's like, what are you going to do with the third pick? Like, you're going to bring in a guy who's not going to play? So if you're going to bring someone in, you better like them enough to where you're willing to put them in the rotation almost right away. That seems against Ime Udoka's philosophy. We saw that early in the season with Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore. They had to really earn their minutes, which is a good philosophy in general to have. But I just think adding another player with the third pick in the draft seems like a waste of time, honestly. Or the Rockets just don't need to develop another player.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, look how raw and really, like, I mean, I guess they played losing basketball because they're on terrible teams. But even if you just look at them as players, like, they did not play winning basketball with all the core members, or all the core six members. Maybe if you want to say, like, Şengün, he just didn't get the run or he wasn't put in the right spots. But, like, all these guys have had moments where you're like, oh, God, they are making boneheaded mistakes that are costing this team this game. And like you mentioned, in the, like, Jalen Green, Josh Christopher, Kevin Porter Jr. days, it didn't really matter because it's the difference between winning 25 games and 22 games in a season. But with a team that's actually going to be in a playoff race, there's just not that many 19-year-olds that come in ready to contribute to a team that's really looking to win. I mean, you can even just, like Victor Wembanyama, I guess, and he is a generational prospect. He's being talked about as, like, the best prospect since LeBron. So that is the standard. And again, breaking news, this draft does not have a Victor Wembanyama. They're French, but they're not Victor Wembanyama. And so there just needs to be, like, a Chet Holmgren, who basically redshirted a year and then has come in and he's been good for the Thunder. But even none of these guys are thought of the way that Chet Holmgren was thought of. So it's just a tough spot to look for. If you're looking for an immediate upgrade, to find that in the NBA draft. And so if you are a team, draft a player, your opinion basically has to be draft a player because he's the best available and he's the best swing at being a star, even if he is not a star immediately. if you're saying draft a point guard because this need needs a point guard after Fred VanVleet leaves, that to me is not a good reason.
Yeah, I still like Amen Thompson. Like
that too.
It's like that's where like they don't. They're not in Nick Caserio territory where it's just like trust the front office but they've had a pretty good track record, it seems, on drafting so far. They've still yet to, you know, see like take that massive leap into the playoffs like the Texans did in year one. But for the most part, like you got to give Rafael Stone a little bit of credit in the draft and say, okay, whatever decision you make, I think I'm going to be at least first blush okay with. It is funny to see like the people bringing up all the Bill Simmons tweets from the James Harden trade.
Yeah, that is probably the biggest, other than the future of the Rockets and trade the pick, whatever. I think the biggest thing is the biggest story from the Rockets moving up is the, I guess, revisiting the James Harden trade.
Yeah, because so far, all you've got is really like Tari Eason, I think it is, and
Josh Christopher was one of the other.
Yeah, ones. He don't count.
Yeah,
and the third pick in the draft, and you have more picks coming still.
Yeah, I think three more unprotected picks.
Yeah, it's funny that it's just funny to look back and when he was just dogging the Rockets for what they got, and now Bill Simmons is funny because like he makes me laugh because he goes on his podcast all the time. He tries to talk about how it's like they do informed basketball conversations. And last week I was listening to his podcast, and he said that the Minnesota Timberwolves were going to be they were going to sweep, and they were going to be one of the top five defensive teams in the history of the NBA. And Anthony Edwards is going to be a top five player, like ever, in the NBA. And then they've lost two games since he said that. But this is in the moment, I liked the deal, and now it just shows you like it's only going to get better.
Yeah,
especially, this is going to continue,
especially because the other deals that have been reported at the time were trading him to the Sixers for Ben Simmons.
Gross.
Where the reason the Nets the reason the Nets picks are so good is because they would later then trade James Harden for Ben Simmons.
Yeah,
and they've been terrible since they've done that. So you kind of get the road not traveled. You can just look at the Brooklyn Nets for like that could have been what the what could have been in the Rockets' future. And so they didn't get Jared Allen in that trade with the Nets. They sent him and Caris LeVert to the Cavs. Whoopee. That's what we're criticizing. Like that this team for the last 3 years hasn't had Jared Allen and Caris LeVert on it. I was the same way. Even at the time, I was like, guys, they're good players, but that getting a couple of solid players when you're going to win 20 games,
trade for Donovan Mitchell and then get Jared Allen in the deal.
Yeah.
Cool. Because now is when you want him. Even the text line here is from 503. The deal is still trash. In what way? Because James isn't here? He didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
Like, James Harden, he was fat. He was out of shape. He didn't want to be here. He wasn't playing with an ounce of effort when he was playing basketball that stretch.
No.
So, James Harden didn't want to be here. And you got a bunch of pick swaps for him. And yeah, you might not be the Boston Celtics, where the Boston Celtics committed highway robbery of the Brooklyn Nets. And yes, it landed them Jason Tatum. You might not get that level of a player. And that's just unfortunate because that's the way the draft can go.
Yeah.
But it was still the best available deal at the time because for some reason in the NBA, and this is not, and the people blame the Rockets for this, I think unfairly, that like, well, James got to choose which two teams he was going to go to, basically. And it was Philly or Brooklyn. And but that's not how the NBA works. Like the NBA, like they, for some reason, they listen to their stars no matter what. They listen to players more when they want out than they do when they're there. The Pelicans did this with Anthony Davis. They got pretty good assets in return because you got Brandon Ingram. But like you just gave him to the Lakers because that's what he wanted. You gave James Harden to Brooklyn, who then moved to Philly, who then moved to the Clippers because that's what he wanted. You listen to James Harden to get Dwight Howard, to get Chris Paul, to get Russell Westbrook. And like that, in theory, could have hurt you worse than giving him up. that's just part of the deal where it's like, I don't know. Like it is what it is. I wish it didn't operate that way.
But
just listen to the NBA stars.
Some of it is the teams that would be receiving the star being, you know, the agent basically tells them like, probably aren't going to re-sign here. Yeah. Not loving this.
That's what we talked about with Mitchell.
Yeah. And so that lowers what that, you know, if just to pick a team at it, if the Sacramento Kings were also in on the James Harden chase and James Harden made it clear like, hey, you know, I'm actively quitting on this team right now, a place I've spent 8 years and will probably have my jersey retired at. You know, I'm like actively quitting and getting on the podium and saying we can't win. This situation stinks. If you trade for me, I will do that with you, a team I don't have any allegiance to. I'll be even harder. And then so if you're the Kings in this situation, you go, well, okay, then I'm not looking to trade my future, you know, a future star or the rest of the drafts that I have for the rest of time. And then the Nets pick, which is a team that he wants to go to, the Nets feel much better and the Sixers feel much better about adding more to the trade because they're going to get a star that wants to be there. And that's part of how the leverage works, is that it's more about disincentivizing other teams from getting in the bidding so the team that you want to go to has the best offer.
Yeah, it's dirty pool.
Yeah, you can just work it backwards like that. And now the Rockets look to profit from that because if Donovan Mitchell says he wants to be a Rocket, there's a good chance that he will be a Rocket because they have the assets to make it work. And that's part of what makes the trade they made with the Nets or the James Harden trade with the Nets so good.
Yeah.
Is because, instead of getting Caris LeVert and Jared Allen or Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris, now they have first-round picks for the next 3 years from a team that looks to be terrible, where even if you don't make any of those picks, even if you trade them, the thing that you can get for four first-round picks is much higher than what you can get for any player that were being talked about in the James Harden deal. So while the Harden deal might – the best player that gets drafted from the Harden deal might be Tari Eason or whoever they pick this year, that's still – is very valuable because you have all these extra first-round picks that you can trade for a star, for someone who is better than anyone who would have been picked in those spots anyway.
Yeah, from the 503, are we pretending Tillman didn't destroy the team and Harden wasn't justified? I'd be fascinated to see in which, like, you believe, Texter, in which Tillman Fertitta is to blame for Russell.
Because they didn't re-sign Mike D'Antoni, and they let Jeff Bezdelic walk.
They
chose Carmelo Anthony over Jeff Bezdelic.
My guess is like, yeah, it's...
And they didn't want to pay the tax 1 year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how any of that's on Tillman. I mean, James Harden orchestrated the worst trade in Rockets history by trading for Russell Westbrook. That was his and Patrick Fertitta's decision.
Yeah.
So you can blame a Fertitta a little bit, but that was James Harden's decision. Every single move that happened in the era of the Rockets was done by James Harden, approved by James Harden, including Mike D'Antoni. Yes, Tillman wanted CP gone. No, Harden wanted CP gone. Maybe Tillman did too, but Harden and CP were done because Harden didn't want to play with Dwight. They didn't want to play with CP. They didn't want to play with Russ. They didn't want to play with the Rockets. They didn't want to play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie. Like, that's what James Harden does. James Harden wants and then changes his mind because he doesn't actually know what's, like, good basketball around him. His best chance to ever win a championship was with Chris Paul. Now, yes, it would have been nice if Chris Paul went vegan here in Houston and then had the success he had in Oklahoma City because he could stay healthy. Mm-hmm. But that was James Harden's decision. It's just James is the reason why all these moves have happened. And, yes, Tillman and Daryl, specifically Daryl, is the reason why this stuff happened. But this is a player-driven league, and he called the shots on all of it. And the Rockets might finally benefit from it. At least I hope they do.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if Tillman dismantled that team, even if you do want to blame him, it's a little bit like, oh no, what were the championship odds of the best team James Harden ever played on was the 2018 Rockets. And that was going to be true basically no matter what. Unless he won a championship, that was going to be true no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, even at the time, after 2018 and then in 19 when they lose to the Warriors again in the second round, that time without Kevin Durant, that's where I was like, okay. The Rockets gave it their best shot in the Harden era. I didn't know how much longer the Harden era would last, but I knew that they were not going to win a championship with James Harden. After 2019, I had zero faith in that. So him demanding a trade, I was like, good. Now you can start with the new era. Now you can kind of reshuffle the deck and see what you got. So that's why it was James Harden's decision. I was never mad at James Harden for demanding a trade.
I did think there was like a glimmer of hope in like December and January 2019, 2020, when Russ stopped taking threes.
Yeah, when he...
And like they started playing really, really good basketball.
Yeah.
Probably the best basketball... I mean, not even probably. It was the best basketball that they played together. Mm-hmm. Well, then the world shut down, and then the bubble happened. But like at one point, I was like, oh, well, they might have some cooking here. All right, when we get back, I have some questions about the outfield. For the Houston Astros, because Jake Meyers is playing pretty good. Joey Lupofito's not been bad, but Chaz McCormick looks like he's on his way back as well. And Hunter Braun was absolutely awesome this weekend. We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It's Joe, Sean, and Austin here with you today, and Paul will return tomorrow. So over the weekend, Jake Meyers, he came in yesterday, pinch hitting, went 2-for-2 in the game. They started Trey Cabbage in that game before they took him out. But Joey Lopofito has been pretty good. Jake Meyers has an 801 OPS this season.
Rake Meyers.
Like, it looks pretty good. Chaz McCormick made his rehab start yesterday. Mauricio Dubon's playing like a good amount of outfield so far, playing a little bit everywhere right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there outfield controversy? Or is Joey Lopofito just going down?
I
guess Greg Kessinger's going down and then Joey's not playing, but I feel like you want Joey Lopofito to either play in the bigs or play in the minors.
Yes.
Like, I don't really know if I want him just to sit there on the bench and not be doing a lot.
Yes. I mean, I imagine it'd be for Cabbage.
Oh, yeah, Cabbage. He would be the
first odd man out. But, I mean, just speaking to how well these guys are playing, like, Joey Lopofito, OPS, 725. Batting average over 300. He's been legit. I was gonna say he's been as advertised. He's probably been better as advertised because the talk about him when he was hitting in the minors is like, yeah, he hits home runs, but I forgot what it was, but it was something like 8 of his like 12 hits in Sugar Land had been home runs. Yeah. Like all he did was hit home runs or strike out. He's actually been a better. I mean. You'd want a little bit more power. He has one double so far in his MLB career and no home runs. So you'd probably want a little bit more power. But as far as showing off being a quality hitter, a hitter that is more than just striking out and home runs, like he's shown that, which is, again, more than what was advertised.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly don't believe in him when it comes to with a lefty on the mound. He only has 5 at bats. Of his 28 versus a lefty. So at this point, like he will not be used very often versus a lefty. He is 2-for-5, but it's such a small sample size.
Batting 400. He's Ted Williams.
But like there's not much to take from it because it's such a small sample size. Chaz has a spot on this roster, but Jake's played well too. I mean, the biggest flaw with Jake Meyers, obviously, is like he's still got a noodle arm. Like we saw it, last week, I think it was. Like, people were running all over him.
Yeah, it was a Yankees game.
I think it was the Yankees. One of the Yankees games where I think most center fielders you don't run on, but you clearly always run on Jake Meyers because he just doesn't have great arm strength. It's one of those things about with the Astros as things start to improve and as they continue to get healthier that like it's kind of my next question with this team is like, what does Joe Espada do? What makes the most sense? And I honestly, I don't know the answer because I like Lo Perfido. I like Jake Myers. I like Chaz McCormick. I don't love any of them. And those guys not playing would seem like a mistake. So I'm gonna guess and say you're right. Cabbage goes down and Lo Perfido just doesn't play as much. Is probably what we see happen.
Could they get Lo Perfido in center? Could that be the what we're not seeing?
I mean, he did the other day. So Jake Myers is out of your everyday lineup?
Yeah, either Myers or Chaz.
Chaz has not played great this season.
That's what I'm getting at. Normally, or if we were getting last year's Chaz, easy Chaz in center field, boom, done, sit and forget it. I mean, he's playing the worst out of everyone that we've mentioned, I guess, other than Trey Cabbage, but that's not exactly fair to him. But as far as the guys that we're kind of debating, I see it as a conversation around Myers, Lo Perfido, McCormick. He is the one that is performing that, even if you want to throw Dubon in there too, he's playing worse than all of them. So, and currently he's on the IL. That's why we're having really this conversation.
But you mean, he made his first start yesterday
in Sugarland. Yeah. Okay. So how much of a leash does Chaz McCormick have? So Alex Bregman can stink it up and he will not leave the lineup. All that happens is that he gets dropped to sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Does McCormick have any kind of runway for when he comes back? Is he back to being the presumed starter, or has Myers and Lo Perfido, do you think, taken that away from him? Because I kind of think maybe it's not fully they've taken away from him and he'll now just be a backup outfielder, but it's getting pretty close.
I think there's a chance that he's not the everyday center fielder and that they really go to a more split. Now, look, like we went back on Dusty, people did. Dusty was right, okay? Chaz McCormick hit .329 versus lefties last year. In 2022, let's see, he hit .340 against lefties. In 2022, he hit .340 against lefties. He hit .207 against righties. In 2023, he hit, .325 versus lefties, .250 versus righties. So he has the opposite of Lo Perfido.
Yeah.
So you've got a left and a right situation to where if you have a lefty on the mound, it's definitely going to be Chaz if it's not Jake. And if it's a righty on the mound, it's probably going to be Lo Perfido. So my guess is what we're going to see here is the lineup go back to a way of like you have Jake Myers, Lo Perfido, McCormick is your two guys in center and left for the most part, or your three guys for two positions. Jake might be more of your everyday center fielder with some Dubon mixed in. So we'll probably just see like a four-man rotation.
I was wondering what the splits for Chaz were still this year. And so,
this year is .250 versus lefties, .231 versus
righties. It's a smaller sample size. So all the numbers are bad and that's fine.
Exactly.
But that might be at least the answer for when McCormick first comes back.
Yes.
And he get that. That is the way, or I guess the way to phrase it, that is the way that McCormick gets to play for his spot, is that they just platoon these two guys when Lo Perfido and McCormick are both healthy, and then you hope the cream rises to the top there.
And it just figures it out.
It figures itself out, and then that way also, if anything happens, if one of them gets hurt, there is an easy reshuffling that you can do. You can also put Yordan out in the field.
And they will sometimes. Like you'll see.
Especially at home.
Well, and one thing we talked about, we mentioned last week, but once again, Victor Caratini caught Fromber.
Yeah. I know.
That's over.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is now that last start where with that pattern still holding.
Yeah.
That is where is no longer eyebrow raising. When that happens, it is just what I expect.
Yeah. Victor Caratini is Fromber Valdez's catcher for the foreseeable future. I mean, maybe, and honestly, maybe Yonner Diaz just isn't his catcher because he didn't catch him once last year. He caught him once this season on opening day and hasn't caught him since.
Yeah.
On those days, you'll have Diaz, maybe your DH, or that's an off day for him, and Yordan's in left. But They'll probably just go to this rotation like that, I would expect. I don't expect – I would be bummed if Loperfido went down.
Yes, I don't think that's the way to go here. I think giving him playing time, because he's earned it. He's shown it. Whatever you expected win, whatever production, I should say, because the way the production's happened has been different. But whatever level of production you expected from Joey Loperfido, like, he's met and exceeded mm-hmm. that.
Is it too early? Miles Straw was traded on July 30th.
Is it too early
to trade?
Who's the Miles Straw?
Jake, Chaz.
Chaz is the Miles Straw.
Or Jake, either one.
Okay.
Is it too early to trade one of these guys for a bullpen arm to strengthen the middle of your bullpen?
I think it's a little bit early, but once we get to like mid-June, July, because really
that is the end result of this.
Yes. I think that is the not even long term. I do think that is the July term.
Yeah.
Barring an injury. If one of these guys gets hurt, now this depth is it's a good thing. It's the opposite.
Yeah, but who knows? Jake Myers might run into a wall tonight.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, exactly. So now you need Chaz McCormick and Joey Loperfido to play every day. So and Dubon can be the one that gets mixed in there. So there is still time. That is why I was going to say it's too early, because you might need all these guys for a month if one of them gets hurt. Now that depth is a strength for this team, where it's the opposite of the conversation we're having early in the season about first base, how there's no good options. This one, there's at least a few different playable options where if you want to put, you know, Jake Myers is no question about the starting everyday center fielder. I have some reservations about that, but that is a perfectly defensible position to have. Whereas first base, it was a lot of like, you kind of had to hold your nose or hope a guy who has never played first base can play first base. Singleton has done well enough to sideline that conversation for now, but the outfield is at least it is a conversation where all the options do not depress me. It's at least an interesting conversation.
Yeah,
to
Jake
have
Myers is the one who's done this.
That isn't sad.
Yeah, Jake Myers having 800 OPS at this point has turned this into an interesting conversation. All right, we know it officially. The Houston Texans will not play in the first game of the 2024 regular season. It'll be Chiefs Ravens. That and more in the 10-minute drill when we get back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we do that, we're going to talk about my friends at O Athletic. You can check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd. Over 100 classes per week. Early in the morning, they take a break during the day and start right back up right around 4:30. So if you're able to get out of work early and you want to get a workout in right before you go home for dinner and spend time with your family, O Athletic is a great place to do that, or before you get your day started. I know a lot of people like to do that. I try to go 3-4 times a week around 9 o'clock in the morning, then over in the Heights. So it takes me about 10-15 minutes to get here to the station after I work out. So it's the place for me. I'm trying to lose weight in 2024. We're making good progress so far, about 7 weeks into this journey, and I couldn't be happier with where I'm at so far. I'm looking forward to the next couple months as we continue to try to push through in 2024 to lose more and more weight. O Athletic is the place for you, because it's the place for me. Check them out, oathletic.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, so the 2024 schedule for the NFL will come out Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. But we got our first report today. They'll be, you know, trickling these out throughout the week. We know that the Eagles will play, I think it's the Green Bay Packers, on Friday, that first week of the season in Brazil. But the first Thursday night game is going to be the Baltimore Ravens in a rematch of the AFC Championship game with the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's who the Chiefs will play. So obviously not the Texans.
Yeah, yes, that is not the Texans. Makes sense. Like, if you just zoom out and it's the
for sure
MVP versus the best quarterback in football, and it's a AFC title game rematch, an AFC title game that went down to the wire. I know everything that we thought about the Ravens was proven right in that game, the fact it was still a toss up in the fourth quarter, I think has gotten a little bit lost to the sands of time. So I forgot about the Friday game though. Wait, you going through that?
They're playing Brazil.
I completely forgot about that game happening.
Yeah, we're gonna have Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Monday that first week with college football squeezed together on Saturday.
Week two. Texas goes to the big house. Okay, that should be interesting. What is next for the trickling out? Because that is my favorite slash least favorite part about this.
They'll probably do
a Christmas.
Probably Christmas. Probably for Sunday Night Football.
Maybe a return game.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a revenge game out there. Because I know the Texans play the Bills, but it's going to be in NRG, so it's not... Exactly. That's a revenge game, but I like it better when the old player goes back to where he left or where the team traded him. I was going to say, do the Vikings play the Falcons, maybe? Or Kirk Cousins' revenge game?
I don't know if they'll make that a prime time.
They can watch Kirk Cousins.
There is this
clipboard.
Like NFL Schedule Leaks account that I peek at just to see, like, you know, what's accurate.
Like, it's a spoiler?
Well, sometimes, like they go back and they're like, now hearing this, now hearing this.
Oh.
The one they've been pretty consistent on so far is the first Sunday night game of the year. It's going to be Texans-Cowboys.
Huh.
So, I don't know if that's true or not. We'll find out.
Cowboys normally do play a week one Sunday night game. They play that game a lot.
I was hoping that that game would be the...
Thanksgiving
game, but the idea of it being the first game of the... The first Sunday night game would be awesome. By the way, that week two could be UTSA. The Texas-UTSA game.
Oh, is it?
Because Texas's schedule is August 7th, or September 7th. They play Michigan. Will that be week one this year? Okay. I couldn't remember when the NFL was starting this season.
Normally week one of college football is the week before.
That's right. I always get the week two. It's always week zero.
They're staggered off.
Yeah, week zero always throws
me off.
Also,
there's a weird... I think... Labor Day is weird this year.
That's right. I think you're right. We got a new contract handed out today in the NFL. Oh. Antoine Winfield of the Bucks.
Isn't he a bit old? Oh, junior.
4 years, $84 million extension for a safety.
Wait, so say that again?
4 years, $84 million for Antoine Winfield Jr. from the Bucks. So eight players got franchise tagged this offseason. Seven of the eight have signed long-term deals. The only one who is not is T. Higgins, who has requested a trade.
Okay.
But Antoine Winfield Jr., Josh Allen, Brian Burns, Justin Madubuke, L'Jarius Sneed, Jalen Johnson, Pittman, and Kyle Duggar all signed extensions after getting tagged, except for T. Higgins. Last man standing.
Holding strong. Don't think that deal is coming.
No, that deal's 100% not coming.
Or, at the very least, not coming with the Bengals. The interesting part about this is, do you think this changes any of the safety market? Because we've talked about how weird it is that none of these safeties have gotten signed.
I mean,
I can't imagine.
It's so late in the offseason, I would say no.
And also, I can't imagine that they're waiting for, like, this precedent. You know what? I know this show loves Quandre Diggs. Not sure if he's getting $20 million a year. Or not sure if he was bringing up Antoine Winfield Jr. as a comp for what his... contract is, but I don't know. I feel it's strange that those guys still aren't signed.
So Bill Belichick officially will be on the Manning cast every week this season. How do you feel about that?
Sure. That's about right.
You watch the Manning cast?
From time to time. Not super. I'm not a dedicated Manning cast.
I watch
watcher
what they post on social media.
I was gonna say it's a big clip one for me.
Unless the game sucks. If the game sucks, I might flip it over.
Specifically, if Zach Wilson or Zach Wilson tier quarterbacking is happening, because it is hilarious that it visibly upsets Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
visibly upset by poor decision making.
Like, if there's a good guest and a bad game, that is what drives me to the Manning cast. If it's not a good guest and it's a bad game, I'm gone.
Yeah,
because we don't have to talk about it the next day, so it's kind of a waste of my time.
Yes, and some of it is the guest where it's like, this is an A-lister. Like, yes, Kevin Hart is a great guest to have, but I'm not, like, interested in what he has to say or anything. So there is a little bit of the guest stuff, and yeah, so I like it. I'm fine with it. But if it's a real game or if the Texans ever play a Monday night game, I probably won't be watching the main cast.
So this is a duh, but Caleb Williams will be the starting quarterback for Chicago this year.
Over testing day.
Yeah, they're not going to do the weird like Tom Savage, Mike Glennon thing that teams do. So yeah, but besides that, so does Jaden Daniels start this year, week one, you think?
Who's the backup?
I don't even know who the backup is there anymore, because it's not Jacoby Brissett.
No, to skip ahead, I think Jacoby Brissett at least starts week one.
I think so, too. I don't think Drake May will be the week one starter.
Yes.
Did we get any confirmation if that logo you sent us the other day in our group chat was real?
No, I've not seen. Oh, Marcus Mariota is the backup for the Commanders, by the way. That's borderline. I think Daniels.
I think Jay Daniels would better be the starter week one. If he can't beat out Mariota's bum ass, like, we got problems.
I just think of, like, okay, he is like a steady hand backup who's been a starter before.
Who, like, quit on his team.
And he did quit on his team. And it seems like a quarterback that a defensive coordinator turned head coach would like.
Yeah.
It's like he doesn't turn the ball over. He also makes zero plays. Ultimately, yeah. I think Daniel still wins because Ty goes to the rookie, where how this goes normally is that if you're picked in the top five, like, you're going to be the week one starter.
Yeah. And then, but except for Drake May, because I agree with you. I think Jacoby Brissett will start. Penix obviously will not start week one.
Mm. Break camp? No. Yeah. You're right.
Does J.J. McCarthy get the job over Sam Darnold? I'm going to say no.
I'll say yes.
Really?
I think he does.
I think Darnold's going to start a couple weeks.
What are we doing with Sam
Darnold? I don't know.
Is he good? I don't think he's good.
So. Bo Nix. Does Bo Nix get the job? Or does Zach Wilson beat him out?
Not Zach Wilson. Probably Stidham, if anyone.
I think Bo Nix starts. I'm most confident of, like, the quarterbacks we have questions in, like, who starts besides Caleb Williams week one? I'm most confident it's Bo Nix.
I don't know. Stidham can sprint, dude.
Yeah, whatever. I don't like Stidham. It's not Stidham. I just don't like his uncle or a father.
I know. I was just trying to fish that out of you. I was wondering how many times can I compliment Jared Stidham? By the way, I also have nothing
Tad
to compliment.
Brown, keep running the 76ers into the ground. Congratulations.
I have nothing to, like, concretely praise Stidham on, because I don't know what he's good at, so I just go, huh, you can spin it, hoping that yes, finally Tad Brown gets a drive-by.
If you don't know the story, Tad Brown texted my bosses when I was at 790 when he worked for the Rockets, because he is father-in-law, I'm assuming he still is, of Jared Stidham, and was not happy that I was trashing him when he was, like, playing for the Patriots, I think. I don't even know.
Yeah,
such
probably
a dumb thing. And hey, Rashee Rice is a total scumbag. Apparently.
Can we change the tone when you read the story? Because you sound like you just found $50 in your pocket.
Well, I did. I found out he's a scumbag. Because apparently, Rashee Rice, when he was at SMU, believed former SMU basketball player Kendrick Davis was seeing his girlfriend. So Rice and some of his friends...
got in an argument?
Went to an SMU basketball game.
Okay. Yelled at him?
And then they fired multiple bullets into the empty car. Empty car. So at least, hey, that's empty.
Not a temporary.
Belonging to Kendrick Davis. So teams were aware of this, including the Chiefs. Look, you know, bad day. You know, had a bad day.
Girlfriend
might be cheating on you. Everyone shoots bullets into an empty car.
I wasn't going to go that far. I was going to say, you know, guys handle breakups differently. Different people handle breakups differently.
Yeah.
I personally did not go to my girlfriend's new suspected boyfriend and shoot up his empty car. Mm-hmm. That's not what I did. But Rashee Rice, man.
Whew. Yeah. And
how
so this
quickly
is...
he went from, like, hey, solid player, could maybe develop into wide receiver.
From Super Bowl champion to probably going to be suspended for 8 to 10 games. Because this does.
I feel like every time we talk about it, the number gets higher.
Well, because this will factor in. Like, that's what Mike Flores is insinuating that, but I would assume it would.
It
like,
now, it
like, when you look at it, like, the NFL is going to say, okay, there's this story about how this happened in college. He then had the car accident in which he ran away from. Mm-hmm. And then this latest one where he smacked a photographer. Apparently, he had an issue with this photographer. The photographer left where they were. Rashee Rice texted him, apparently, to come back or to come to this location. And the photographer assumed that it was just to take photos. In fact, he was going there to be hit by Rasheed Rice.
Not, much to his surprise, he was yes. there to be assaulted.
He was not there to take photographs. He was there to be assaulted. So, yeah, I would say 8 to 10 is definitely on the table.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. And I was when I said that the SMU thing shouldn't be held against Rasheed Rice in this situation, it's just because, like, letter of the law, it's like, wait, so I'm getting suspended for something I did in college? I'm getting suspended for something I did 3 years ago? But when yeah. it adds up to a body of work, I get that's how it's suspended. That, same yeah, yeah. thing with the John Moran thing. But, like, it was a lot of things that added up to that, but, you know, in an actual court of law, it's not how it should work.
No, but it's the NFL. They rule their own world.
There is no law here.
Yeah, there's no laws. It's just Roger Goodell. Whatever Roger Goodell says goes, and we all live in his world. All right, when we get back, there is an interesting tweet or story that Awful Announcing put together about the NFL for this year. And it makes the argument that the NFL is too expensive for fans. We'll kind of go over that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Everyone stay safe out there. Look at severe thunderstorm watch now until 8 o'clock or through 8 o'clock. A few tornadoes, scattered hails the size of apples, and 80-mile-an-hour-per wind gusts all possible between now and 8. So if you're on the road, stay safe. If you're going to get on the road, stay safe.
Yeah, know what you're getting into because it seems gnarly. It sounds gnarly right now. Like, yeah. We can hear it in the studio.
Skies falling outside.
It's crazy.
So Awful Announcing put together this story of just how much it's going to cost to be an NFL fan next year. Now, this is not an exact science, right? Like, your team has to, in theory, like, if you're just, we'll just be Texans fans. Like, you don't watch any other games besides what's readily available to you on, like, Monday Night Football on YouTube TV, let's say, which is what the example they used. So if you use YouTube TV, and the Texans were to play on that, of course, let's say they get an Amazon Prime game, so Thursday Night Football.
Okay.
They get a Peacock game, which is possible, an ESPN Plus game, which is possible, Netflix, possible. The total would be $507 this season for all of that.
That seems like a lot.
So even if you wanted to just watch the Texans, it's probably not, they're not going to be on all of these, so it's going to be significantly less. But the fact that, like, I think the bigger picture of this is that if you did that and you wanted Sunday ticket, it'd be about $860 for the entire season.
And Sunday ticket, that's for that's A, to watch every game.
That's to watch every
market
game.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And I know that's especially popular with people that obviously don't live in the area of their favorite team. So, you know, if in a different life, if I live somewhere that wasn't Houston, I wanted to watch the Texans, I would have to get Sunday ticket to do it.
No, you could do it
legally. What?
You could do what I do.
Illegally?
Oh, I definitely do it illegal. I don't pay for Sunday ticket. Yeah. I won't do it. I stream them.
I honestly didn't know it was $349. I had no idea it was that expensive.
Yeah.
Which I get. I guess kind of makes sense, but that's very expensive to watch every game.
Big time.
Where you literally can't watch every game. Like,
no.
They all happen at the same time. You can't do that.
Now they're doing, like, the multi-box.
Oh, with YouTube TV and, yeah. Okay.
So, like, that kind of helps your argument a little bit. But even then, like, it's like if you're...
You can look at four
different
games.
That's more like
games.
If, like, your team that you root for is playing at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, like, during the 12 o'clock window, you have four games on.
Even then, like, you're not really watching all four games. Like,
I go red zone.
I am a big red zone proponent as well. When the Texans either don't play at noon or when they stunk for the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
That's what got me got me into Red Zone, where I do think it affected the way I watch football for the worse, where I'm now very ADD when it comes to football.
Yeah. No, it's funny, like, seeing, like, the first two texts we get here are free, you know, with the pirate emojis.
Yeah.
After Fire Stick jailbroken is the truth. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the way, but, like, people don't, not everyone does that.
Yeah, if you're just, like, your average fan, you have, like, we assume, and if you're listening to this, you probably also have a certain level of, I'll just say, like, online literacy when it comes to being able to watch things outside the law. A lot of people just don't do that. A lot of people, they make enough money, or they just don't care enough, or they don't know how easy it is to
True, I mean, people can't even figure out how to, like, there's some people who can't figure out how to, like, log into Amazon Prime to watch a game on Thursday Night Football.
Stuff. Yes. So that,
like, that might be an older generation. So, like, I love the idea of the Fire Stick, like, of course, but it's just, like, it's just the way it is. Now, you might not need all of this stuff, because we got a couple people asking about these.
It's also adding the full year price for all of these things.
Yeah, sign up and bail.
That's juicing the numbers a lot. Yes.
Like Peacock is right now, it's the week one season opener, the Eagles versus the Packers. That's what right now is on there. Netflix is just Christmas, which if you don't already have Netflix, like...
That's another thing.
ESPN Plus is one, I think it is.
Is it just like...
Of the international games.
Yeah. And, you know, Netflix you probably have anyway, and Amazon Prime, I'd assume... those are the two that most people have anyway. Even if you don't care about the NFL, most people have those two things. So that one's, you're not really adding an expense to what you're already spending. That is just, it's, you're double counting it.
Yeah. So that's why for me, like, the answer to this question is no, the NFL is not too expensive.
Also, most people don't need to actually watch every single game.
Yeah. And like,
there's so many games, even doing this job, where at least theoretically, like, we need to have some sort of opinions on, you know, the Carolina Panthers, because they might be doing something. You know what no one's doing here? Watching every Carolina Panther.
See, I will say, like, now that the Texans don't have another team's first-round pick, I do feel, like, less the need to follow.
Less plugged in to, like...
Yeah. Like, I mean, you need to watch. But, like, last year, like, I was, like, pretty intentionally, like, specifically with the Browns. Not watching every game, but, like, I would focus more time on, like, what's going on with the Browns than I typically would. So, like, but that's why I think Red Zone's perfect, because it tells you everything you need to know. And then NFL, like, if you get, like, Game Pass or just, like, on YouTube, like, there's enough information out there. You know, like, you can get everything you need. For the most part, people just need, like, the basics.
Yeah.
I mean, now, look, the Texans very likely could play on every single one of these streaming services besides – I think ESPN Plus is the one they won't play on. I don't think they have. Maybe the Minnesota game could be overseas, but I don't think it will be. I don't think the Texans will play outside of the United States of America this
year.
The
Colts game was just on ESPN, the last game of the year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. No, they. Unless it's an international game, you don't need ESPN Plus to watch. Yeah. Even if they play on Monday night, that's just going to be on regular ESPN.
I don't want any of those, by the way.
ABC.
Those international games. I don't like them.
No?
And some people are like, well, my day's free the rest of the day. Nah, I'm still just going to sit down and watch football. It just means I have to get up, you know. Not get up early. I get up that early now anyways. Yeah. I always talk about it like how it used to be before I had a kid. Before I had a kid, like, I'd be like, I'm not going to. I'll wake up at halftime.
That's how.
Or I would wake up, set my fantasy lineups, and go back to sleep.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't do that. I just wake up at halftime. And that's why it's perfect for teams you don't care about, where when I talk about the ADD of that was brought about by watching Red Zone, a lot of it's that, where I'm like, you know what? Most of these games are going to be pretty close in the second half anyway. Like,
yeah.
I don't need to really be watching, like, intently. Again, unless it's, like, a Texans game where I know we're going to talk about it. If it's just, like, an average game, if it's, like, a standalone primetime game, the first half, I'm doing a lot of checking my phone. I'm doing a lot of other stuff where I'm just like, just fast forward to the third quarter, please, because I know this game is going to come down to a last fourth quarter drive, a last 2 minute drive. So that's how I watch the international games, where I'm like, I know it says that it starts at 8 o'clock whenever they start. I'll see you at 10, all right?
Yeah, I'll see you. Yeah, 100%. I do wish we had a red zone for college football. I think it's the one thing there.
It'd be impossible.
Could you do top 25?
You would have to do. Or you would have. Actually, it would be the way college football is going. It would be easier just to do a Big Ten and SEC that red would be, zone.
Yeah, but even then, like, there's probably not. I don't know if there's enough games for that.
The thing is, there's either too many games or not enough, depending on how you cut it. To where maybe if it's just the Big Four, you could do that, where you're throwing in some ACC and Big 12 games, and a lot of that's just like the Big 12 games being like filler, because there's not going to be a lot of like huge marquee ESPN Saturday night number 5 versus number 10 Big 12 games, but there's going to be a lot of games between two good teams, like a lot of ranked matchups there.
I can't wait for college football this year. This year is going to be wild.
It's going to be fun.
Just to see like how the conferences play out.
I can't wait until the game comes out.
Like Utah favored to win the Big 12 still looks so weird on paper.
Which part? That they're favored or that it's Utah in the Big 12?
I think the Utah in the Big 12. Good that football team. Good coach. So like that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But favored to win the Big 12 is just still so, so bizarre.
The idea, it's like, it's them or Kansas State. And you're like, it's crazy. Those two teams are in the same conference.
All right. When we get back, let's get back into the Astros over the weekend. We got the first part of what we asked for. So what do we want to see next from the Houston Astros as they take on the A's for a 4-game series? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.